appreciated this morning. I see several here that are visiting with families and others that are visiting, and we're glad to have each of you. Next Sunday is a very special day. It is special, first of all, for the same reason that today is. It'll be the Lord's Day. But it's also special because Brother Sammy Jones will be speaking at all services next Sunday. Brother Sammy Jones, in my opinion, is an outstanding speaker and a very fine Christian man. You want to hear him each service next week. And also, next Sunday is our fifth Sunday. Our contribution goes to the building fund. The elders have challenged us through the year to maybe try to at least double our contribution on fifth Sundays. And we hope that you will think about that. In fact, more important, I think, than the budget itself is each one of us being sure that he is doing what God wants him to do relative to material things. I would like to suggest that it would be good if each of us would take a pencil and paper sometime this week, sit down for a few minutes, and put on paper where we can see it, what we've given to the Lord's work this year, and compare it to other things in our lives. I think that's probably the most important point that a preacher can say about giving, that it's a personal thing. God expects each one of us to think about it and to purpose and to plan. We have the challenges before us. I hope that we'll be able to more than double our contribution next week. But more important than that is your being sure and my being sure that we have the right attitude toward material things and that we are giving in the right way and have done what God wants us to do. And sometimes I find that when I put it down on paper and really look at it, that it's a little different from what I thought. Take a few minutes this week. And also, maybe even more important than that, is that each one of us needs to be looking at his soul and his relationship to God. We have only 9 more days in this year. God lets the earth continue. Of course, in one sense, it doesn't make much difference when a day ends and another day starts, a year ends and another year starts, but it is a time when we think in the businesses and other ways about taking inventory. I'd like to suggest that each one of us stop, really, really stop, amid the busy affairs of life, and take inventory of his life and the relationship that each of us has to God. That's what matters more, folks, than anything else, is our relationship to God. For the past 2 weeks, in the lessons that I've presented, we've been talking about the commandments. We've talked about the 10 commandments, and then we've talked about commandments that Jesus gives. In one sense, the 10 commandments of Jesus. There is a tendency, I think, for us to think in terms of law and commandments when we think of the Old Testament times, and to think in terms of love and grace when we think in terms of the New Testament. And there is a sense in which that idea is true. However, if you noticed in the reading that was read a few minutes ago, Jesus, after talking about love in 2 different ways, said, on these 2 commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And Paul said in Romans 13, verses 8 and 10, that love is the fulfilling of the law. We make a mistake, I think, if we believe that love was not involved in the relationship between the Jewish nation, the children of Israel, and God. In fact, as we review those 10 commandments, we find that the first 3 deal with love for God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto me any graven image. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The 4th commandment, in a sense, talks about love for worship. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Though those commandments were nailed to the cross, and that specific is not in the New Testament, the principle of that commandment is throughout the entirety of the New Testament. Love for worship. Love and respect for God in worship. Honor thy father and thy mother. love in the family. Thou shalt not kill, commit adultery, steal, bear false witness, or covet. Love and respect for people and that which belongs to them. And so, although there was a sense in which the old law might be said to be legalistic, realizing that no one could be saved under it unless he could keep it to perfection, and that was impossible for anyone except our Lord, it still remains that the old law was filled with the idea of love. And even before that, the patriarchal dispensation, at the time of Noah, it says that he found grace in the sight of God. What happened to him came about through an attitude of grace that God had toward him. So love and grace are also a part of the old law, not in the same sense as in the new. But love is the fulfilling of that law. And then when we come into New Testament times, we need to understand that though grace and love are emphasized and sort of give us the foundation for everything, that there are commandments involved in living for Christ today. Some people do not understand that and understand the significance of those commandments. I think, again, we can show very clearly that the commandments given to us by our Lord are commandments that emphasize the idea of love and grace toward God and toward one another. 2 weeks ago this morning, in the 8 o'clock service, we looked at five of what we were calling the Ten Commandments of Jesus. The one where he said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. See that you love one another. Love your enemies. And if a man love me, he'll keep my commandments." Love for God, for neighbor, for all people, for enemies, and for the commandments of God. Having reviewed that this morning, let's look at five more commandments given by our Lord. And I certainly do not intend to suggest that these are the only 10 given by our Lord, but 10 basic commandments given by him, and see what is involved in those. Let's go first to the Sermon on the Mount, a passage very familiar to most of us. Matthew 6:33. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added unto you." Had you ever stopped to think that that is a commandment? Very specific commandment. Seek ye the kingdom and seek it first. In that commandment, Jesus shows us the kind of love and respect that we ought to have for the church. We live at a time when people tend to belittle the church and push it down in an effort to raise Christ up. And it's extremely difficult to raise Christ up when you're pushing down that for which he died. It's always been difficult to understand how anybody could say that the church is not important when it cost our Lord his blood and our God his Son to purchase that church. It's hard to understand how people can say that the kingdom is not a reality. And the Bible clearly shows that the church and the kingdom are synonymous, that the kingdom is a reality, and that in living the Christian life, we are to seek the church first. How much love do you and I have for the body of Christ? You know, sometimes what I might want may not be what is best for the church. And it is not easy to keep this in focus and to love the church more than we love self, to love the church more than we love our own possessions, and to really seek it first. Jesus didn't just say, "Seek the church, seek the kingdom." He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." I believe understanding that commandment is very important in helping us to live the Christian life. To understand that the church is the body of Jesus Christ, that it is his bride. He didn't allow Paul to talk about his bride. He showed him on the road to Damascus the attitude that he wanted him to have toward the bride, toward the church, toward the kingdom. And he commands us today in the same way to seek first the kingdom of God. That's love for the church. Again, in the Sermon on the Mount, as ye would that men should do unto you, do ye even so unto them. We've put that into a direct statement without changing the meaning. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's one of the great commandments that Jesus gave us. Perhaps it is a restatement of the second great commandment that he gave, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I believe if you analyze those two, you'll see that they are coming at the situation from the same point. But he said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's not easy to do that, because each one of us, growing up in a society where number one is emphasized, and if you don't take care of yourself, nobody else will, has a tendency to think more in terms of self than in terms of others. I think we have a tendency when we're dealing with material things to have what we want for self and those that depend upon us before we think about God and reaching out to others. And then in our actions toward people, Jesus said, you do to other people what you would expect them to do to you. I believe there are two basic ideas involved in that, and that is a love for honesty and a love for fairness. Honesty is so important in our dealings with one another. If we're not honest with each other, we have hypocrisy. And if we are less than honest, we're going to have problems. And being less than honest will bring about a need for something else that's not good. Honesty. Provide things honorable in the sight of all men, Romans 12:17. One translation says, provide things honest in the sight of all men. And then there is fairness. It is extremely difficult for us to be fair with all people in all ways. Many of the problems that we have in our nation today come out of prejudice and cause hard feelings between people and among people, comes because we do not emphasize the idea of fairness. It's not easy to treat everybody in the same way. Specifics may vary, but the principle should not. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Be fair to all people. Try to treat everybody alike as far as the principles are concerned in human relationships. And then Jesus said, this time in Luke's account, chapter 6, verse 36, be ye merciful, even as your Father is merciful. That's almost a restatement of a part of the prayer that Jesus taught his apostles to pray. Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then Jesus made a comment on that after he finished that prayer and said, if we do not forgive one another, God is not going to forgive us. We are highly dependent upon a merciful God. There's not a one of us who deserves salvation. There's not a one of us who deserves forgiveness. And if God treated us completely out of justice, we would have no opportunity of salvation. But thanks be to him, he's merciful. He is a God of mercy. And therefore, out of mercy, we find forgiveness and comfort and help to live the Christian life. Now Jesus says, you ought to have that characteristic yourself. You ought to be merciful to one another. Does this not include being sensitive to the feelings of other people, the wishes and the needs of others? It is so easy when someone disagrees with us for us to attack the person instead of the problem. It is not easy for us to listen as closely as we always should, to try to understand what the other person is saying. And sometimes it's not easy for us to forgive when we have been wronged by others. Paul taught specifically that we should not let anger continue in our hearts, that we should not let the sun go down upon any kind of wrath, Ephesians 4. And then he said at the end of that chapter, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. God doesn't forgive unless there is repentance. but he stands ready to forgive all the time. You and I may not be able to forgive one another completely unless there is repentance. I don't think God asks of us something he wouldn't do. But we do have the responsibility to be sure we have a forgiving attitude and that we do not hold grudges in our hearts one to another or toward anybody, even an enemy. And that we stand ready at any time to completely forgive when there is penitence on the part of the one who is offended. And you know, Jesus not only taught that we are to go to the one when we have offended somebody, but he taught we are to go to the one when we have been offended and try to work out differences. And mercy goes a long ways in doing that. Jesus said, "Be ye merciful." Then back to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, this time chapter 5, verse 48. Jesus gave what I believe to be one of the two great challenges that he gives by way of commandment. He says, "Be ye perfect." What a challenge. First, we need to understand that he's using the word perfect there in the sense of completeness, maturity. He did not suggest or mean to suggest that we can be perfect in perfection and never make mistakes. But he used it in the sense of continuing to grow and come as near like he is, for God himself is perfect, that verse says, to be as complete as we can be in him. Be ye perfect. Occasionally I'll hear someone say that we just don't have any challenges today to give to people, that if we go back to the Bible, that we've got to come up with something that is modern. And if we don't give our younger generation some modern challenges, they're not going to love the church and remain faithful to the church. I would dare anybody to give a greater challenge than Jesus gave here. Can you begin to think of anything that is greater than the commandment, "Be ye perfect"? Become complete, strive toward perfection, strive toward completeness. I can't think of a greater challenge given to us as individuals than that. Be ye perfect. Be ye complete. Yes, we're living under a system that involves love and grace. And yes, he says you keep on keeping on to improve your life and to grow. He grew in wisdom, stature, favor with God and man, Luke 2:52. We need to use that same pattern, and we need to grow and become closer to God and more God-like. Will we ever achieve perfection in the sense of never making a mistake? No. But can we achieve completeness, or at least get nearer and nearer to that in being more God-like, more Christ-like, more complete? I believe we can. And what a great commandment that is. Be ye perfect. And then the fifth one that we're looking at today gives another challenge. In fact, it is a dual commandment given particularly in Mark 16, 15 and 16. Go preach. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Now here again, I would challenge that person who says we don't have enough challenges for the younger generation today or any generation to give me one that's greater than that. Go where? Into all the world. Preach the gospel to whom? To every creature. You cannot name me a challenge that's greater than that. Out of love, yes. Love for lost souls. And brethren, there is a tendency in the church, you and I can be just as guilty as anybody else, to get bogged down with all the daily activities and regular programs and forget that the main mission of the church is to convert people to Christ. Go and preach. Is there a greater commandment than that? A greater challenge than that? In fact, when you put these last two together, be ye perfect and go and preach the gospel to every creature, you just cannot find a challenge that's greater than the sum of that. Do everything you can to make your life better, and do everything you can to give other people an opportunity to make their lives better. That's the challenge that Jesus gives us. Is it a challenge of love? Yes, sirree, it is. Every commandment we've talked about from Jesus is out of an idea of love. Seek ye first the kingdom, love the church. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, love people. Be ye merciful. Love the feelings of people and the needs of people. Be ye perfect. Love Christian growth and becoming more godlike. And go preach the gospel. Love the souls of people and the need to bring them to Jesus Christ. I submit to you that the Ten Commandments of the Old Testament and the commandments given by Jesus in the New Testament are just alike in principle. The old law was nailed to the cross, certainly. For that reason specifically, we do not worship on Saturday. We do not keep the Sabbath. We have no reason to. But the New Testament teaches us to worship, and to worship regularly, and to worship because we love God, just like He wanted them to love Him back there. All the commandments, from the beginning to the end, are based upon the idea of love and respect for God and for others, and especially for His word that He has given unto us. Do we need to keep the commandments? Yes, we do. Those commandments specifically include faith, repentance, confession, being buried with Him in baptism for the remission of sins. He commanded all of those. And if we respect and love Jesus, we'll be interested in obeying His gospel. And then He commands us just to live for Him, give our lives in service to Him. And He commands us when we go astray to repent and confess and pray to God for forgiveness. All of these commandments are in a system of love, for God loved us enough to give His Son and expects us to love Him enough to give ourselves. If you have not, come to Him as together we stand and sing.
What a glory He sheds on our way.